This guy is so starless. Baby, this guy is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's up? We are back. It is another episode of the Red Light Special. What you just heard is the homies, Jake and Papa, Starless. That is our theme music. As always, we got a shout out. This is R&B and Jamie for always supporting us. And my name is Rob Markman, and I'm your host, and I'm here with your other host, Kristen Coral. Chris, what up? How you been?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. Having a good week.
Yeah, man. It's been a crazy week. What you been up to since we last convened?
Well, I have coming up, I don't know if you're familiar with DJ Inc. at all.
No.
It's got like the really long braids coming down the side. Like, oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, no. I'm doing a shoot with him. He has like this line of caps out that says like Ben Wavy.
Okay.
Really dope. So we got a shoot coming up this weekend. A couple of modeling gigs, you know.
Okay, nah, I'm with it.
How's your week been?
Cool. Just super, 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 super busy. I we had BJ the Chicago Kid on our last episode, man. Shout out to him, man. In my mind, the project is so crazy.
He did Soho House too.
Yeah,
you,
man.
See, I don't know if you saw any of the video.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I've been so busy. I missed the SOB show because I had to work. He did Soho House. Then they had some homies do like a private little dinner for him, and I was invited and I had to work. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I love working.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I really wanted to celebrate BJ. Bought the album, like I told him I would. They
incredible
gave it for
album.
Free. Yeah. But I was like, man, I gotta purchase this, man. His album is so amazing. And now it's just like a mission to put everybody on that isn't on. You know, a lot of people are on him, but like,
yeah,
telling my mother about your mom got his album.
I think a lot of people know BJ the Chicago Kid though for being like the man on hooks. And I told him this when he was in the studio with us. I feel like this project is really him. It's himself. It's his own sound. And it's not him on anybody's chorus. It's his own songs, a whole album full, debut album at that. And it's better than a lot of what's out right now. So I think it's really great what he's
doing. Right now, I'm going to be honest. This is my favorite album. I mean, look, we only in February. Best album of the year. Like any genre. Like I like it like from beginning to end. I know I'm going to get... They're going to kill me for this, like, but I listen to it more than I listen to the Kanye album. Like, it's just
agreed.
A smoother, like, the Kanye, I'm like, I got me in the mood. This just, it's a smoother transition. Like, you know, Ye's thing is, like, still kind of, like, disruption.
Yeah.
A little bit. Not, like,
Yeezus
disruption.
It's a little more hype. You know, I think Kanye's album's a little more... You can't just throw it on every morning, you know what I mean? Like,
it's two different things, but...
Yeah.
So far, BJ the Chicago Kid got the album of the year. And it's only February, and I said it. Yeah, man, I just felt like saying that. Yo, you been on Twitter this week?
I'm always on Twitter.
You always on Twitter? Me too. I'm trying to do like less Twitter, yo.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it all depends with the work that we do. I think it's a little mandatory.
I can't no more, man. Like, last week I ended up going on a rant about like New York rap, and I know this is Red Light Special, this is the R&B podcast, but y'all know me mostly for the hip hop thing. So I went on like a New York City rant because they was trying to bury that kid, Designer.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, y'all just mad because he's from New York, man. Like, y'all let everything else pass. Like Post Malone, you know, that sounds like a party record to me. And it was cool.
Slightly,
it got a pass.
Yeah.
I'm like, why we draw the line? But then we neither here nor there. Then today, on the anniversary of Trayvon Martin's death on February 26th, I had tweeted just that it's crazy because I remember 4 years ago just talking with people and be like, yo, this got to be the last time something like this happened. You know, just like police, or Zimmerman wasn't the police, but like an authority figure, you know what I'm saying? Like killing young black men. This got to be the last time this happens. And, you know, I was just upset because I was like, we said Trayvon was supposed to be the last time. And it's happened like,
multiple
it just
times.
Keep happening,
yeah.
You know, in the past 4 years. So I said, I put my opinion out there, man. I had so many racists just like in my mentions. I'm just like, man, I got to tone it down. So I might have to take a break from the Twitter, but that takes away from my point. What I did see on Twitter, I want to know if you saw this. And we had them both. They are both friends of the Red Light Special, both friends of the podcast. I enjoy both these artists. Jacquees versus Tory Lanez.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it.
What you make of this?
I mean, I think it's great that they're two young artists doing, you know, not strictly R&B, but a lot of R&B. I mean, it could be a little good. It could be a little bad. To me, it almost seemed like Jacquees was kind of just like, that's just kind of who he is. Like, he talks a lot of shit. He's confident. And personally, I have nothing against that. Tory Lanez, I don't know. Like, they're both shit. Let it help both of their careers, you know? And then maybe like a couple months down the line or a year down the line, they do a record together. That's just what always happens in this music industry.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I don't think it's like beef if I see you as on. But no. I'm not sure what started it, but I pulled up this Quest tweet because Tory looked like he was downplaying it a lot, but Quest was like, your pen is pretty dope, bro, but vocal wise, nah, you are not fucking with the kid. Tory Lanez, you tried it, bro, keep hustling, and gave him the peace sign. Like, I was like, but the funny thing, the reason why I bring it up is because I feel like me and Joe Budden, shout out to Joe, shout out to Rory, Marissa over at I'll Name This Podcast Later, Amani as well. You know, me and Joe last week, like, we'll just hear something and just text each other and just put each other up on whatever we listening to. So about 2 weeks ago, I was listening to Mood, to Jacquees' tape. So I text Joe, like, Joe, you up on this? Because, you know, Joe don't even listen to rap. He just ride around listening to R&B. Joe, you heard it? Like, yeah, I heard it. Yeah, it's cool. But it ain't fucking with, like, his response, though, it ain't fucking with that chick's tape, though. Da, da, da. And so we started, like, arguing and debating Tory versus Jacquees, like, you know, in a friendly way and in our own private conversation. Like, then it went off a text. Like, the shit got so heated. Then he pulled over and called me and was like, it just ended up like this heated debate.
He gets so involved.
But just between friends. Yeah. And then we turn on Twitter and they actually, you know, going at each other. So I feel like me and Joe might have spoke that into existence.
In other words, you created that R&B beef.
Maybe. But now we got to look at it. We got to use our powers for good.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're going to just speak a Frank Ocean album into existence. And
I mean, hopefully. I'm a little bit, I don't think it might even be coming out anymore.
Frank ain't never dropping.
I'm going to just tell myself it's not coming out no more.
Frank might pull Lauryn Hill on y'all, man. Watch. Oh, yeah. Yo, Jess is in the building. Jess, you good?
I see steam coming out of her ears.
Yo, why you got your? I feel like you got your mom mad at me too.
No, she listens to my life and she agrees with me.
Jess's mother heard our debate about Miseducation, Lauryn Hill versus My Life, and re-listened to My Life.
Shout out to Mama Bigger.
I don't know. Your mom's she seems like one fine lady. I think maybe she needs to live a little more life and then my life gonna make sense. I feel like she probably ain't go through enough things. But nah, man, shout out to Jess, always holding us down. I'm gonna get right into it this week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one has been a little while in the making. This week's guest, he hails from Indiana. Really caught my attention when he dropped a freestyle called Trap House Jodeci. I mean, Chris, you know how I love my Jodeci, man. I fucks with Jodeci. So I was like, what's this? Okay. When we talk about like this new wave of R&B and hip hop and singing and rapping and just this wave of just like not being in a box and kind of just being an artist and a complete artist, this guy really checks all the boxes. You know, I just mostly saw his stuff on Two Dope Boys, which is a site that I love, man. I don't say that enough. So shout out to Mecca, shout out to Shake. And, you know, I'm really in tune with what's going on, and I really just like this dude. We've been, you know, trading pause. Do I have to say pause? It's been DMs back and forth. We've just been communicating back and forth. Yeah, it take on a whole different connotation now, man. Like, nah, but it's just, you know, checking in like, yo, Rob, I just dropped this. Yo, check this out. What you think of this? Yo, when you coming to New York? You know, and he's finally in New York, and he's here. So I want to welcome to the first time for the Red Light Special. Oh, man, yeah, Ali, man.
Yeah, what's up? Appreciate y'all for having me, man.
Nah, man, thanks. You know, it wasn't even a question. It was just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You know. I love your hair, by the way.
I appreciate you. I love your hair, too.
Thank you.
Y'all want me to leave the room? Everybody said, I got my Yankee hat on, and a fitted. Real quick too, we're not in the studio this week. I just want the listeners to know. I don't know if you could ever tell or not, but we from a remote location. We in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
This week, but it's all good. Chris, go into it now. I'm sorry. If it sounds different, I didn't want them to feel like, wow, so this sound.
You don't want them to know where we are exactly?
It's Trap House Jodeci, so we're in a secret location.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep it like that. Yeah. I like the mystery.
Devontae tied up.
Yeah, we got the piano downstairs. Yeah. We got a lot of shit.
About to get a crack.
I wanted to ask you, just because Rob talks about this whole wave of new artists who aren't in a box, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them we know are from New York, LA, you know, places, who, you know, even Chicago that we're familiar with. But mm-hmm. you're from originally Indiana.
Yeah.
So how has that transition been from Indiana to LA, which you live now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, which part of Indiana?
219 Hammond, Indiana, right next to Gary. Shout out to Freddie
Gibbs. Okay. Oh, okay. You know Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
Tough.
No, you know where Gary, Indiana is. That's where them damn Jacksons is from.
Oh, yeah,
Michael, Michael, Janet, Tito, and the rest of them, man. There's something in the water over there.
Freddie Gibbs' house is on the same street.
And Freddie Gibbs. It might make sense now. It's like a little gangster in them. Shout out to my man Gibbs, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Freddie, man.
Okay, so from Indiana, from the Midwest to LA?
It was definitely different. I think all my life people had told me I would like LA, so I think I always knew I was going. You know, I wanted to get away from the cold, so I knew New York wasn't my first option. So I wanted to go to LA first. So the only thing that's been different is, you know, the people are different. So a lot of different personalities. So I come from a place where it's a certain group of personalities, and I always was like the odd man out in a way. And then coming to LA, it's a lot more creatives, and it's like really cool to be around people who probably consider how you're considered from their hometown, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was easy. It was very easy. Now looking back, it was crazy I drove, you know what I'm saying, from Indiana to LA, like by myself.
Like, isn't that like 12? Well, how many hours?
Oh man, I wish it was
12. Days, right?
It's a couple days.
Really?
Yeah. I stopped off and went on a few adventures, but yeah, it's a few days.
You know what a few adventures means?
He has some things. Vegas for like 2 days.
He has some things lined up. Yeah. He has some things lined up.
Couple pit stops.
Listen, bro, I understand. I speak the code. Where did you find your artistry at? I mean, was it in Indiana that you, like, how did you first kind of discover, like, you just had this passion for music?
My dad always encouraged me to get into the art, so I was always in band and choir and drama and plays, and so I didn't appreciate it that much because I was forced into it. So my first interest was sports, and mainly just sports, so being in that was just like, I had to do it because my dad made me. So maybe high school, like the last year and a half, maybe 2 years of high school, I really started appreciating band and my teachers. My drama teacher, Mr. Tabby, his brother was Mint Condition's road manager. So he and his brother ran this team for like for years. Honestly, it was crazy. I was so rude to him. Everybody, he was so passive that everybody, you know, got over on him. But it wasn't until like the end of high school when we started like respecting him more that he told me one time, he was like, yo, either you're going to be a burnout and you're going to just be in this town forever, or you're going to be a superstar. And he told me that because I was just in my friends were disrespectful. So his response to that was simply this. He was like, I don't care. I'll be fine. I'm rich. Like, you'll either burn out or you'll be good too. So I was like, dang, it's no in between. And I was like, I knew what he meant. And so later he followed me on Instagram like a few months ago. And he didn't say anything back to me. I hit him up like, yo, man, I appreciate it. I basically gave him the whole spiel like I'm giving y'all. And he didn't say nothing back. But like a couple of days, he liked one of my pictures of me like doing something in the studio. So I figured he was just like, yo, all right, I told you. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I appreciated like teachers like that getting on me and making me appreciate the art more. So, yeah, but college is when it like really was mainly my passion when I got to college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? How would you describe your style now, man? Because I think we're in the transition period for just music. I mean, do you consider yourself an R&B artist? Is it something?
Nah, you know,
everybody
what
has a different name for it.
I've always said I was a songwriter, just because my first song was a country song that I ever wrote. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like I necessarily, like, I used to do battle rap. So when it came to rap, I came in a whole different way. Like, I stopped doing rap battles because the last one I had, we got jumped. Like, because I was just embarrassed to do. So it was just like, all right, I'm gonna do something else. Like, I'm just write music instead. So it was just too crazy. So
you want to shout him out? Because we could. We can talk about that sucker shit.
I hope he's listening. His name is Corey, man. Shout out to Corey O. He probably still where he was at when I seen him. But
so they jumped you just because you cut him in a battle?
Yo, it was crazy. I told Buddy he had a Janet Jackson hat on and like some LeBrons, and he did. He had a tall T, that Rhythm Nation hat. He had that for some reason, like an 8-panel Janet Jackson hat, for God knows why, some LeBrons. So I just cut him up in like first two lines, and even everybody was like, oh, it was like 200 people there. So imagine everybody just pointing at your shoes and your hat. And it was just like, and it was like world star, and it just broke out, and we, you know what I'm saying? So it was funny. So like, you know, I definitely say it's singers who I know who can sing, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like my homies who I work with my whole life, they were always in the R&B before I was. And then it got to a point where I was coming in with ideas for them, like, yo, you should try this, you do this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yo, you should just get in there and do it yourself, because you give it, like, try mm-hmm. it. So they had me in there trying some R&B stuff, and then I just fell in love with it. And it took singers a long time to cut records for me. So instead of waiting for people to send stuff back, I just started doing it, putting it out there every now and then on SoundCloud, and then seeing what happened. And people took to that stuff, you know, quicker than any of my other stuff. So, you know, that was a lane that I realized I was, you know, really good at. I didn't even anticipate it, so.
Do you feel like you came, like, we talk about this a lot, Rob and I, mm-hmm. The whole SoundCloud wave. Like, do you feel like that kind of gave you your push, your start?
The same four songs I dropped on SoundCloud, which are the same four, you see, I dropped them over 2 years ago and nothing happened. Then I dropped the same songs 2 years later and they went crazy. So I don't know.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, I think it's more about that.
That's great. Hold on. I want to hold that thought, though. But I want to get back to Corey one time, man. Bro, you said that in the midst of a bar, right? Like, it wasn't like you just cut up on him just to cut up.
They threw on some beat and I asked him if he wanted to go first. He was like, nah, you go. I was like, oh, man. And I knew in my heart that it wasn't going to be a rebuttal. I knew something was going to happen if I said what I was going to say. But I was like, all right, it'll be worth it.
Corey, you're a real sucker for that, man. I'm just saying. This Rob Markman. You can hit me on Twitter at Rob Markman. Yo, it's been a long day. So, like, if it's looking at me, like, I have no fucks to give. Like, damn, bro. Like, it was just a bad. Like, you seen 8 Mile. Like, why you going to do Eminem like that? Right? It's just bars, man.
Yo, we gotta get into the rap battle.
The wild thing, you know, all of our lives in like the past, like there's certain moments in my life that got me to where I'm at, and certain moments in Chris's life, but that's a pivotal moment. Like, that's an experience that might have just led you maybe into a different direction.
I was even cool off performing. Right. Like, I was like, I'm not doing anything. I was like, I'm about to go in the studio and just start bringing in these artists and like writing for them, and like people in college who I know like in choir and show choir. I'm like, yo, I got some crazy ideas, but I don't even know how to get them out correctly. Mm-hmm. So you should sing them. And like people started like coming to me in college and mm-hmm. buying songs. So I was selling hooks in school, like to various people who were like real singers. And I was just like some dude. I was always popping on the internet for some reason, right. Like, cause I don't know. I think it was on Tumblr. Some girl put a picture up of me one day, ever since then, it's just been crazy for no reason. So I was like, man.
Yo, that Tumblr wave is crazy.
No, dead ass. I don't know.
It's like how you describe it. It's like she put a picture of me up and it.
Yo, because I wasn't up on Tumblr and everything, and like my followers started going up. I was like, man, my homie was like, yo, you like a. He's like, man, you don't do anything. He's like, so you popping for no reason. He's like, we got to capitalize. We got to figure out. Mm. So he started putting me on party flyers in school and DJing little gigs. I was like, cool. So start making money off just being popping in the area. So, you know, my entry to music was writing what I did before. I used to make clothes. So the first time people started messing with me was when I made clothes and people didn't know I did music. So that was really my way in, was making clothes and then being in the studio with my shit on. Like, yo, what was that song on Instagram you played? I was like, oh, that was me.
Right.
I'm like, what? And then, you know, it goes from there.
That's dope. Nah, super creative. But back to what you were saying with your SoundCloud, the same kind of four songs that you dropped.
Yeah.
And you didn't really catch attention, and you just re-released the same songs.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that? What was the takeaway from that?
I knew when I was doing the songs that when I put them out, it wasn't going to get the reaction I wanted. Because I knew, I just told my homies, I'm like, yo, in a couple years, I'm like, I'm going to be popping. But don't be mad that I don't put out a lot of music. I'm like, I'm just working at it. So they were like, man, you need to drop this song. And I did it. I'm like, see? Like, I don't have, I'm like, let me like take my time with it. And I took them down And then I did it a couple years later, and they were like, dog, these same, I'm like, so I made them in their basement, and I lived in this frat house back in school, so they were like, dog, these same songs got you popping on this side, this people messing with you. I'm like, yeah, dog, it was just, my sound at the time wasn't really appropriate for like 4 years ago.
Right.
Three years ago, when I'm saying, I did a project in 2012 that I put out a song the other day, I won't say which one, but people went crazy for it. And it was like, dang, I did that 3-4 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
So I could say which one you just put it out.
Yeah. You didn't change anything from these songs?
Nah, it's even, literally, I'm actually embarrassed a little bit because the quality is not to, up to par to what I put out now. So it's like, I don't want to erase them because they're already up there. And yeah, it's kind of like, kind of cool to see it. But mm-hmm, I can just tell it was off GarageBand and I had a rough mix on it. But a lot of people can't.
The name of the song was Gucci Umbrella, yeah. Which is dope. Like, let's go into the songwriting of it, because it's kind of like the Gucci, like there was two things going on in the record, like the physical Gucci umbrella, but then there's like odes to Gucci Mane and I feel like maybe the umbrella that he created.
It's more like a homage thing to him, because like I'm not from the South, but I got so much inspiration. Like Gucci's one of my favorite rappers. To me, he's like a Southern Cameron. I'm a big Cameron fan. Like they were just so creative and the wordplay was nuts. And you were like, yo, did he say that? Did he really just compare that to that? Or did Cam just say this? And it was just like, yo, Gucci just, I can name a bunch of New York rappers he put on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just by touching them, like the younger generation, he just, you know, one song he did this, like the first time I ever heard of Future in my entire life was Gucci on Free Bricks.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this dude is next, Future. Like, now, right. I was like, right. Gucci was going to be I'm in college at the time, like, yo, right, this dude on Free Bricks is nuts. And Free Bricks 2 came out. Then that Future first mixtape with the eagle behind it, then right, I heard that Ain't No Way Around, and I was like, oh man, this is not. But Gucci, I was on Gucci's mixtape site getting all the song, like, yo, this is Future, dude, it's cold. And so, right, you know, French Montana, I was a French Montana fan because of Max B, but then it was like Gucci started rocking with him, and like the whole right, South
Project, it took Pat, off.
Like it was just a bunch of Southern artists, Juicy J, you know what I'm saying? So Gucci, that Gucci umbrella is like, a lot of us can say Gucci Mane inspired us, but I'm not from the South, and mm-hmm, I don't think people would hear me and be like, yo, he jocking from the South. It's like, nah, that, you know, it's just a creative way to do, like, you know.
Well, let's talk about that, because that was part of my Twitter rant earlier. The whole jocking from the South shit, let's cut it out. Like, and I say this to say, Atlanta clearly runs music.
Yeah.
Like,
it's one of the most
lot of it.
You know what I'm saying?
Hub, yeah.
Like, it's the hub, especially hip-hop, but even R&B in a lot of ways, like our urban music, like when you hear Sierra, well,
Monica.
Where's Sierra from?
She's from Atlanta.
She from Atlanta? Yeah. Okay. But you hear like the almost like the Migos ad type of ad in the background, or Usher mm-hmm, did the I Don't Mind, and you know, I think it was Rock City that did it, but it's still like a Migos style ad in the background. Like, so Atlanta, like, y'all the hub of music, like, y'all, so people gonna be inspired. It's gonna inspire a kid from Gary, Indiana. Yeah. It's gonna inspire a kid from Brooklyn. Like, you know, these kids from Brooklyn now, like, they can't be inspired by Nas and DJ Premier, because they know Nas and DJ Premier on the radio is Future.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the end of my rant. Yeah. But so what I'm saying is, we right here. Like, I see why you could make a record called Gucci Umbrella. Yeah. And what I think the power in that is your songwriting again. Like, like it's literally like it was almost like a metaphor.
Yeah.
But really,
double meaning.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Are you into material things like?
Nah, I never owned a Gucci umbrella in my life. I went on.
How about some Louis V slippers?
Nope, but I'm gonna get them for my bae when Gucci, I get the bread.
Okay.
Some Gucci flip flops. Yo, can we do Louis Vuitton?
What?
I don't know. Kanye said he confused me.
He
Kanye
said if he ain't said it, he said, ain't said it.
I'm just waiting. I'm like, can I go to the Louis store or not?
I honestly can't rock with cats who wear LeBrons, because Dom Kennedy said don't wear LeBrons to the club. That shit's ugly. And ever since he said that, I've been judging cats like, oh man, bro, you got the LeBrons on. You ain't heard Dom.
Hey, yo, check this out. Check this out.
Shout out to Kennedy.
and Dom is my man.
Yeah. But it's just like stuff like that resonates.
I wore some fucking bronze, bro. I'm keep it on.
You gotta talk to
me. I don't give a shit, bro. Holla at me.
I throw on some Kobe's before I throw on some LeBron.
Nah, material things, nah, I'm not yet.
Not yet.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, with your pops, you said your pops was pushing you. What does he feel about it now?
I used to cuss a lot as a kid.
Right.
And get in trouble a lot, and just it was just nuts. A lot of pressure on my dad, you know what I'm saying? So he always told me, he was like, if you want to cuss and say bitch and do this and that, he was like, you need to get paid for it. And so he never was really like that mad at me for saying it. He was like, well, why are you using these words instead of this word? So he'll make me feel more embarrassed about using cuss words because there are a lot of other options. But he's like, oh, if you want to do that, you should make it profitable. So he always pushed that, like, yo, if you're making people laugh, you're getting people's attention, and then that's it. He was like, they're robbing you. So he was like, if you're not giving to them something tangible, then, you know, you're just giving everything for free. So I'm like, all right. So I got in trouble in school and college, and like, it was like a crazy experience to where I get kicked out of school. I couldn't get a job.
In college?
Bad. Yeah.
For cursing?
No. Oh. just a piggyback. Like, so this is what my dad told me before, but they cussed when I was a kid. And then I got older and I got into some legal trouble.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, yo, it's time to take the music thing seriously. Now, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really amp it up. He gave me some money. Like, go to the studio. Like, let me know what you can do. Like,
that's crazy support.
You know, got me out of my situation. Like, it took me a minute to get out of the situation. But he was supportive. But he was like, yo, you might not be able to do the college thing like you thought. You might not be able to go to get this job at this university because of what you put yourself in. He was like, so it's your fault. But the only other option is music or entertainment. And you always had interest in that. But now you got to turn that interest into, like, reality. So my dad really made me do it.
Damn, he liked the good version of Joe Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
It's nice to have that support, though. A lot of people don't have that.
Yeah, he was like that through everything. Basketball, I was in boxing, kickboxing. Like, anything I was in that I wasn't really particularly good at first, he made me good just by telling me, like, yo, if anybody can be good, you can be good at it. Like, so I used to hate fighting the sparring competitions, but he got me amped up for it to where I knew how to pick my spots. I knew that my confidence level, I was faster than cats. So I'd start picking on my strong points instead of realizing what I wasn't good at, and, you know, turning those weaknesses into strengths. And so he always supported me in anything I did.
That's dope, man.
Sparring is crazy.
I'm surprised he ain't grabbed the yapa when Corey and them was acting up. Like, well, what?
He wanted to.
We riding. Let's go. So, being in LA now, what's that experience like? It's a long.
It's crazy. I'm not gonna lie.
It's a difference, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have more at your fingertips now that you're living in LA?
Yeah, I don't let people send me beats in the email anymore. You gotta pull up on me, or I can just pull up on you, or we can make it. Like, so now I have that luxury of saying, like, nah, you gotta come to the crib, or I gotta go to your studio. So now I can just reach out to my favorite artists, or, you know, their people, and if it's mutual interest, you know what I mean, it always is, then we work. So it's not like I gotta find them. It's cool. I just run into a guy at the studio, like, what you doing? I'm like, I work in this studio. Oh man, I'm right here, like, let's link up. Like, I'm like, damn, I was just listening to this dude a year ago, my, you know, at the crib, you know, I'm running into him. So that couldn't have happened in Indiana. So I just, it was necessary.
You could say names on this podcast too. So yo. I just want to let you know that's an option. I know the code, bro.
Who are some artists that inspire you?
Look, there you go.
You talk about, you know, people that you've been listening to for a year prior to actually working with them. So
I would say the one person that I got to work with that I always heard about was No ID.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I always heard Kanye and Jay and everybody talk about him, and I just sat in the studio with him in hip hop and just talked, ate some salad, and just listened to records. Right. And I was like, damn,
that's dope. It's
cool as hell. Like, I mean, I remember listening to Graduation and hearing him talk about these guys and how important they were to his career. And, you know, for No ID to tell me he liked this song I did on SoundCloud, and I'm like, what, you listen to that? He was like, yeah, I listen to this, yeah, all of it. I'm like, damn. And that was just crazy to me that, you know what I'm saying, somebody who was, you know, I looked up to that level, thought, like, yo, you know, you dope. It's where he saw me at. You know what I'm saying? I was where he saw me was, if you were in that room, you were only supposed to, you were somebody that you were supposed to, you know what I'm saying? So it was like the respect type of thing that I have handouts. I didn't really ever ask for anything. So it was just like I earned my way into the room I was in. So it was like, shit, you belong here just as much as me type of thing.
Nah, No ID is a good dude. Well, yeah. You belong here just like me. Sound like y'all all might have been, sound like maybe a writing session, a writing camp. Y'all might have been producing for somebody.
Yeah. One of those options.
You know, cause, like, I know the code. No, it's funny too. I remember when No ID used to rap.
Word.
You knew that? He had a record, he had a single and everything. Back in like the 90s. Yeah, man. Shout out to No ID, man. Yeah. He was on Common Sense albums. He had a verse with Common back in the day, all that. Trap House Jodeci.
Yeah.
you gotta explain this concept. I want to know where you were when you came up with it. Like, and the listeners can't see you now. Yeah. We'll throw a picture up to promote it. But he's wearing the Trap House Joe to see hoodie.
Yeah,
I need one, so yeah, I'm gonna go get one.
I like a little rose on it too.
Yeah, but I need to know like the aha moment when it's like, okay, all this
right.
is it.
So if he's listening, this is DJ from Indiana named Brian Sanders, right? He was in my frat. Shout out to my frat man, Cap Alpha Psi. So before I was a member. You know, we used to just kick it, and I used to kick it with the older bros, and they would ask me, like, what my favorite music was, and so, you know, I was an R&B guy, you know, Jodeci, Silk, Public Announcement, Kelly, Dream, Static Major, Pretty Ricky, all of that was my favorite, you know, so they were like, all right, so when I got into the Brotherhood, I used to throw parties at our crib, and I would DJ, like, the 15-minute R&B set at the end, just play some, like, old school, slowed down, Ready for the World, something sexy, and the frat house was called the Trap House. So he just nicknamed me Trap House Jodeci because, like, he was like, yo, you play a lot of Jodeci. And it wasn't even just a lot of Jodeci. It was just a lot of New Jack Swing and stuff in the air.
Oh, man. He was
like, yo, you on your Trap House Jodeci right now. I was like, and it was crazy because before I even did music, he was like, he was an encourager too. He was like, yo, you should get into music because you always around it and people vibe with you. But, you know what I'm saying? You need to give them something, like, see what you can do. And so, you know, the Trap House Jodeci, that was in 2007 when he first, or 2008 when he first ever said it to me. And it wasn't until later when I started making music, maybe 2010-11, I started incorporating into like my posts on Instagram when I had one back then, or Twitter or something. I was like, it was Trap House Jodeci. Then I got tired of explaining to people what my music was. So instead of telling them to break them down like a podcast,
right.
I have 15 minutes and 20 minutes to break it down. I'm like, yo, it's Trap House Jodeci. Now, anytime I say it, people are like, yo, it's your music sounds like that. You
right.
know what I'm saying? If I tell them the name or if I don't tell them and they ask me, like, what is that? I'm like, it's Trap House Jodeci. And they're like, oh, dog, that's the perfect description. I'm like, cool. So that's what I say, so I can save myself a lot of time.
That's crazy.
It does make a lot of sense, though, because the sound is very much like a mix of the both, you know?
Yeah. And then where I'm from, I always thought, like, man, what would Jodeci make if they lived in Gary, Indiana? Like, from that atmosphere, from, like, I sell dope. But right. you would think I did from where I lived and like
yeah.
the house I was in and the block I was on. But my dad did it enough as a parent to make sure I stayed clean and was on my stuff. So, you know, but that atmosphere, that environment. So I get hostile sometimes. Like, I feel like if you try me, I got to get hostile with right. you. Like, because that's where I'm from. Like, you know, somebody might snuff you. Like, you got to just be aware and you got to sometimes be an aggressor. So with music, how I write, like, I might say some wild, aggressive stuff about a girl that's like, maybe a girl would be like, oh, I wouldn't think you would say that. You're so nice. Like, yeah, well, you don't know this side of me. So,
yeah, bitch, you don't know this side of me.
Yeah, like, you feel like, yo.
I don't even talk like that. I'm just playing.
Yeah, so you never know. So, yeah.
That's funny.
I do feel like you have that in your songs, though. Like, even the ones like Thigh Kisser and all those songs mm-hmm. are, you hear, you kind of cater to the women, but in a very aggressive way.
Yeah.
So it's not like nobody's going to get up. You know, on yeah. you. Yeah, I do hear that.
Because
you know,
I always wanted my music to, like, I like Beyonce, right? And mm-hmm. so I just really couldn't play nothing but Beyonce in the car full of my homies. What I will play, I play Sweet Dreams. I play a couple songs with Jay on it. I play the joint with Kanye on it. Like,
so it's not weird.
The up-tempo ones, you feel me?
Yeah.
So it's like, but by myself.
Yo, son, play that Dangerously in Love, son.
But by myself, I'm playing Signs. I'm playing Dangerous in Love. Playing Me, Myself, and I. I'm playing
Plum
nothing but
one.
The cuts. But by myself. So I'm like, man, I want to make something to where you with the homies, and I might be talking about a certain subject. But y'all can still be right. Like, oh, this is a bump, bro. Like, without getting, like, a little weird what the subject right. matter is. It's like, I want to make sure I don't turn anybody off. Like,
yeah.
But sometimes I want to just, no, I want this for this right. type of people. Like, I want this for a girl to hear it and blush.
You ain't got a girlfriend? You got a girlfriend? This is a weird question.
Unofficial.
Okay. Because you might need a girlfriend. Then you can ride around and listen to all the Beyonce you want.
What
happened?
My favorite topic.
My favorite topic.
Unofficial relationship.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Unofficial.
I let it slide. I know the code.
I'm legally blind.
I always say
that's the world we live in today. you know, last episode we spoke with BJ about one night stands and flings. You think one night stands are okay?
I'm gonna be honest, I never had a one night stand. That says more about me than anything, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I ain't expect that answer.
Spiky unexpected.
Nah, I was just messing with you, man.
Speaking of all of this, though, your new song that you put out with Kirko Bangs.
Yeah.
Go First.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
Yo, Kirko is one of the people who I listened to like in college. Like he was like, I told him, I'm like, yo, dog, I used to play like all them tapes like in school when I had this nice ass crib. Like it was crazy. I used to throw parties there and like drinking my cup came out. And I was like, yo, this the hardest thing out. And I didn't understand why people.
When you thought it was Drake when you first heard it?
Nah, I knew it was. Because I already messed with me. I rocked with him before. He had that song with Big Sean and Bun B, What's Your Name or something like that. Yeah. So that was like 2 years.
He was on that wave already.
That was 2 years prior. So the crazy thing about Kurt Cobain, I feel like he didn't get a lot of the respect, like not recognition, because he had a couple gold record, like, you know what I'm saying, statistically he did well for when he came out, and I just felt like a lot of people don't cite him as one of the guys who was really one of the guys, and to me he was really one of those guys. When we talking about where R&B is now, like a lot of people don't say it, but you gotta say Kirko, like,
especially drinking my cup,
like you have to. That set a precedence. You can't tell me artists didn't hear that and be like, oh, I'm switching the whole formula.
Right.
You can't tell me, because I seen it, we saw it, you know what I'm saying. I remember where I was the day it came out, like, so when he hit me up like, yo bro, I'm rocking with you, I'm like, dog, let's go. So Go First, he wrote that record and I just added my verse on it. So when he sent it to me, I was like, yo, this is crazy. I'm like, this is why I rock with you, because you got, he works like me. Like I sent somebody a song to do, like Ring for instance, like this, that was done pretty much, the hook was written, you know what I'm saying. So he just basically, yo, plug in where you feel free, how this sound. Like I'm like, dog, you work just like me, like you knew what I was gonna do on this song, so you left this part, you elevated the beat, you put this sound here, you had your producer to kind of cater it to me. So once he did that, I'm like, yo, I'm rocking with you. We did like 5 tracks in 2 days, you know what I'm saying. So the second joint, we alternated, I did the hook on the next joint, then he did the, you know what I'm saying, we just made sure that we weren't all doing one thing, it was a mixture. So Go First is like, that's, I was playing it with just him for a while. I just added my verse like a couple of days before I dropped it. So Kirko just killed it, and you know, I was, you know, grateful that he put me on there, because you know, I rock with the music and we got some good songs in a stash.
Ye hasn't explained it exactly, but Go First is kind of a ladies' record. It's kind of a ladies' record, but
you meant the concept of it. I just want to go first. It's like, let me show you what I'm gonna do before you do what you do, because you might have to switch your whole game plan up after. You know what I'm saying? So let me go first. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I might impress you a little bit, so you might have to like, oh shit, he went first, maybe I should have went first. Like,
set the,
you know,
tone. What I'm
saying? Yeah, you gotta set the tone. So that record, I knew was gonna happen, and that was the first record we dropped. So like, it was like, damn, they took it there already. They ain't even like.
You definitely set the tone.
I love the record. I think it's a great record, and I think it's different. You know, it's not something. I mean, is it really different for men though? You think, like, going first? Like, do you feel like?
I like to go first.
You like to go first. Okay, so you're a little bit more of the dominant. This conversation, bro, just put his head down. Like,
nah, because
listen, it's gonna come up with a record like this.
I just like to go first.
The record, you know, go first.
It's just, it's more impressive to me if you go for, if I go first. And so if you impress me, I'm like, damn, all right, okay, maybe I gotta step my shit up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's important to set a tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very.
Absolutely.
Like with Thigh Kiss, it was like, oh, okay. I could have called it Pussy Eater, but Wayne already had a song called that. So
oh, he sure did.
So I was like, what's the next best thing? I was like, well, if you're kissing thighs, you probably was or you about to. So like, they'll get it. People are like, yo, that name's so clever. I'm like, cool.
Right.
It didn't offend, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't too offensive.
But that's the songwriting aspect of it. Look, you can get that through a lot quicker, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, shout out to the Dream.
Get that on radio.
That's who that's like Dream and Static Major. I saw them do that a lot.
Oh, first of all, thank you. Rest in peace to Static Major. Yeah. The anniversary of his death just passed a couple of days ago. Such a big Static Major fan.
That's
man.
Why I got the brace.
Word. Wow. I see it now.
Yeah.
Nah, man. What was it about Static that attracted you? Because I still feel and hear his influence today, and people don't really talk about him as much as you think they should.
It was because of Pretty Ricky's first album.
Yo, Pretty Ricky had the jam.
Yo, so you know what I did? Dead ass. I went to FYE at the time, it was this store at the mall, and I went there, copped the record, went home, opened up the credits, got on AOL dial up, looked up the credits. And seeing who this dude was on there, and it was Static Major, and he wrote Juicy and like 4 or 5 other records.
Yeah.
And this what, and I was like, yo, that's the record that did it for me. Was this record was so well written that, like, Pretty Ricky had a thing about their music that if you stripped away the beat, and you just listen to it, you might have to arrest one of these guys. They were off the wall. How the pockets they were in, like the melody. People forget it's three dudes rapping and only one guy sang.
Yeah. Right.
Like, so the dynamic was like a Jodeci, but like inverse. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying? Dalvin and Devontae really wanted the beats and the songwriting. You know what I'm saying? Casey and JoJo handled most of the vocals. But that dynamic and that chemistry was perfect for him. And then, you know what I'm saying? When Static, you know, passed, you know what I'm saying? Like, you saw their music kind of took a total, you know what I'm saying? But that's what his, honestly, when he made Lollipop, that's what made me. Like, yo, y'all don't see this dude's a legend, bro? Wayne's biggest song.
The Lollipop thing. That's Wayne's first number one single.
Biggest song.
His biggest song ever. And it felt like it was finally going to happen. Because I remember him from just more so working with Timbaland when he was in Player.
Yeah.
Cheers to You is one of my favorite songs. Like,
in my life.
Ever. Like, Cheers to You is such an incredible, incredible song.
Songs like Lollipop, like I remember exactly. It's just like you said, you can remember exactly where you were, what you were doing when certain songs come out, and I feel like that Lollipop record really.
But the sad part is when the video dropped because he
was in the video.
He lived enough to be in the video, and you just see him and Wayne rocking out.
And then at the end, R.I.P. Static.
It's crazy. I saw something on the day of his anniversary, which got me of his death anniversary. It feels weird saying death anniversary because it's not something to celebrate, but we celebrate his life. I was working at Double XL at the time when he passed away. Damn, I don't give a fuck right now. Like, and I ain't gonna name no names, but we wanted to write a story, like the staff. Right, like I had pitched, I ain't gonna go that far, but I had pitched, I was like, yo, we need to write a story about Static Major and what happened. Cause there was a lot of mystery surrounding his death and his illness, and not a lot of people knew, you know, and there wasn't a lot of reporting on it either. And, we wanted to do a story on it, and we were told by our bosses at the time, like, nah, that's R&B. That's not an audience. Nobody is going to really check for it. And then Vibe magazine ended up doing the story, and it was so...
Big one.
Yeah, it was like...
I remember that.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? And I remember... And we were competing with Vibe at the time, but it was like, I picked up Vibe, and I'm like, yes, thank you, Vibe magazine, for writing the story as a fan. So on the anniversary of the day that he passed... Double XL on Instagram had put up a picture of him and was like, RIP Static Major. And I was about to get so petty and go in the comments like, yo, y'all gonna put this up? Meanwhile, only one of the person who was there then is there now. But, you know, I was like, it's a whole new staff. Like, they didn't have nothing to do with it. I was gonna be like, yo, we wanted to write that story. Y'all wanna be RIP? I was like,
he was the GOAT, man.
I'm such a fan. And then when Chasing Cash... Look what you done for me for Drake.
A lot of people still don't know that Static Major. A lot of people don't know that video, that YouTube video. It's not much they changed to the beat.
Nah.
It's pretty much essentially what you heard Static freestyling while the homie smoking a cigarette on the piano. Like, he freestyling. The thing about Static was, I think the reason why he wasn't widely known and accepted was he had such a gangster edge to him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like offensive. It was just, he was being who he was. And I think the fact that he was unwilling to bend for the industry and change was made him so great.
And he came up in the suit and tie era where it was still like you had to clean up a little bit. Like,
he was wearing vests and overalls and baggies and Tims. And
but that's why I kind of think too, and that's descended. It's funny now that we're here because I feel like in a large part he was descended from Jodeci because Jodeci really started that. And you know, Timbaland came up from under Devontae.
Yeah, Genuine, Aaliyah, all of them.
So it's all from that tree. And we hear now, when I say even an artist like you, where it's like you don't have to necessarily choose, where it could be like R&B, it could be more about songwriting, it could be a little bit of rap, and you could come with like an aggressive swagger, but still sing songs like A Thigh Kiss or things that might be meant for the bedroom. You know, Static had a lot to do. Like, Static almost had to take those bullets.
Yeah.
So cats of this generation could rock out and be themselves.
Like, when I had a session with the interns, the producers, like some of my favorite producers, right? So they're watching the video. And this is them, like my homie was introducing them to me because they had heard some stuff on the internet, so they wanted to meet up in person. So we chilling. And he gets up, co-sign, stands up after watching the video, was like, yo, hold up, let me just say something. He's like, man, who this cat reminds you of? And my homie was in the room too. I was like, yo, if he say who I think, he was like, man, he kind of got like a stat. And I went crazy. And I'm telling my man, like, yo, tell him who my favorite. He's like, bro, Static Major is like his favorite. He was like, what? He was like, bro, I see it. I was like, I got the braids. Like, so like, you know, cause I waited to get my hair long enough to do it. You know what I'm saying? So it was a whole, like his whole vibe was crazy. And I don't think he celebrated enough. So like my direct influence is like Static, to where, you know what I'm saying, I done ripped so many unreleased songs off like documentary videos, like archive type of stuff. And I can't say, but you might see me and Static on something like over next year.
You just gotta let me know. I'm ready. Cause that's the other thing too. I feel like I feel like there's a lot of music stuff,
like original music too.
Nothing that's already out.
That'd be amazing.
So you got to keep the braids.
Yep.
That's why I was so hyped too when we interviewed Bryson Tiller when I was at Rap Genius, and on this podcast when I was at Rap Genius. I'm still at Rap Genius, but we interviewed before Rap Genius.
Dropping balls
I ain't going nowhere. And one of the line, like when you just hear Trap Soul, he's like, that's word to Stephen Garrett. Like I caught that right away. I'm like, oh, that's Static Major real name. Like, I just love to see like dude get his props, and like this whole generation is, and it's like a quiet influence. But it's like you walk into a room, and if you really know about Static,
you see it all around you.
Mm-hmm, and you don't gotta say nothing, and you know, there's suckers who don't know, but it's cool. Yeah,
but it's nice to see that people actually go back to that kind of stuff, because as BJ was on the episode and he was talking about it, he said if you really love an artist or if you really admire someone, you'll go back to who they admire.
Yep.
So there's a lot of artists that are out now, and if they hear something they really love, then they do their research if they're, you know, really passionate about things, and they look into, okay, who did that person get their sound from? You know what I'm saying?
I still study 4SMD vinyls.
Oh, we have 4SMDs on the show too. Yeah. Like,
that's crazy.
You know, and again, when we talk about, it's so funny because what we were talking about with them was they were one of the first actually to blend hip hop and R&B. They were beatboxing on their records and singing and rapping.
It's crazy going back to here. It's like, yo, this could be used today. Like they had a, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. Like they said, before some D's, damn, bro.
Right? Crazy.
I fuck with you, bro. Like, straight up. Are you talking about before some D's? Talking about Static Major?
Yeah.
And in my head, I just said, let me love you.
And they sang and did the whole little, crazy thing on the podcast.
Love is a back. House.
Yo, come on.
For real.
Let me ask you a question, because I feel like it's something that's going on today, and I don't know if you've gotten these comparisons yet, but I feel like the fans always want to compare artists now, right? Especially new artists. I remember when we talked about this before, the year that House of Balloons came out, and Nostalgia Ultra came out the same year, and it was like Weeknd versus Frank Ocean. There can only be one.
Yeah,
it's like
that was a great year.
It was a great year. Why we can't have both?
Yeah.
This is why we can't have nice things. You know, and then PND Party came out. It was like Party versus Weeknd.
Yeah.
Who will take the crown? You know what I'm saying? It's like people dead ass argue. It's like, yo, does you could like them both. And now I feel like people are trying to force this Bryson and Tory thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm just wondering who they going to compare you to and force it. Like, it's like Mortal Kombat in this bitch, man.
Nah, I think the comparisons say more about music as a whole than it does about individual artists. It just says, like, there are so many artists who would love to work with these aforementioned artists. You know what I'm saying? Or get in the lab, get a hook from them. So, like, it's like saying, not like it's an elite group, but it's just like a nice space to be in, like to know these people. So I think the comparisons just means that, you know, it's moving in the right direction. So, I mean, people have made comparisons, but I mean, I don't see it. But I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I wonder if they did it. I wonder if it was like Stevie Wonder versus Marvin Gaye. they both sing. Like, what else? You know what I'm saying?
I just think, like you said before, you know, there's this new wave coming along, this new sound. So it's like, I think people are still trying to figure out those artists with that sound. So when you have somebody like Bryson Tiller who comes out and it's not like, you know what I mean, a cappella kind of real like high-pitched singing, and then you have somebody like Tory Lanez and he does a little bit of hip-hop and R&B, and you're like, okay, wait, so he kind of sounds like Bryson, but he doesn't when he raps. somebody like you, and then they're gonna choose to kind of like compare you to somebody else too.
Because
I think we're still figuring out this sound that's coming.
You cool? Don't like piss you off. You don't look like upset about it. I know some people like.
Don't
compare me to anybody.
I would be offended if you compare me to somebody wild trash. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I don't even, you know what I'm saying? So if you're saying these my contemporaries or whatever, I'm like, cool. That's cool. That's like it would be foolish to say that Iverson never got compared to Kobe, who never got compared to T-Mac or Vince or these guys who were in the same era, but all had different skill sets. All were really good at what they did. And at the end of the day, I'm like, all right, well, from that, Kobe was Kobe. And everybody else was them, but Kobe was Kobe. So
you can say that one more time if you want.
At one Kobe point, was Kobe. You know what I'm saying? So like, I love Iverson.
I'm a Kobe fan. I feel like you're saying that. I mean, I'm a Knicks fan, but I fuck with Kobe.
Yeah, I love all these guys, but you got to look at, you know what I'm saying? At some point, everybody's going to be at a level to where you got to compare them, and then guys are going to do their own thing. Some guys might go into acting. Some guys might be more rap. You know what I'm saying? So at some point, people are going to accept what we do, and we're going to, like, I don't think even these guys even care.
You know what I feel like we're in right now? And you had mentioned it earlier, like, I think with the sound of music, because the other thing, like, again, it's a hybrid of sounds. It's a lot more aggressive. It's a mood and it's a real vibe that's going on. Because there are some similarities and commonalities, but I don't think it's that anybody's biting each other. I think this is the generation, like, this is what music is for this generation of artists, in the same way when, because you could have said the same thing in the early 90s with New Jack Swing. Like, New Jack Swing had a sound and it was a vibe.
Drew
and
Hill
it was
came
a moment.
After Jodeci, and, like, I watched videos and they didn't appreciate that.
Oh, listen.
They felt away.
Did you?
They felt away.
Okay, I'm going to tell you my story because I was there. I think I told this on this podcast. I was such a big Jodeci fan. You got to realize this is before the internet. Like, this is before videos. The rollouts was real different. So I would just hear Tell Me. The first Drew Hill song was Tell Me. For the first 3 weeks, I thought it was a Jodeci song. I still never forgave Drew Hill.
Cisco was hitting him, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and you know. I was like, oh, okay. He was doing all the runs and shit. So then I'm like, oh, man, this new Jodeci single, man, this shit. This shit jamming. Yo, Jodeci back. Yo, you heard the new Jodeci? And then I remember one day I came home from school and turned on music videos. This is like for my New York City as Video Music Box. And Ralph McDaniel. So on Tuesday, they had Tasty Tuesdays where they just play R&B. So it was Tasty Tuesdays. And all of a sudden, they was like, okay, here we are. Drew Hill, Tell Me. And it's the song. And I'm like, yo, that's the song. I'm like,
with the green shirt, just doing the ride, jumping up and down. Yo,
why is Casey jumping like that? This ain't fucking Jodeci. What the fuck? Right. And dog, I like, honestly, and it's so petty, I never got into Drew Hill after that. Like, we not making love no more. Beautiful song. Like, they got dope songs. Jazz could sing. Jazz is like,
he was the one.
Yeah. But I always like felt like, I felt like they fooled me. I felt insulted when I found out it wasn't Jodeci.
But that's so crazy that you say that, because like, I was a bigger Jodeci fan, but I could tell. I watched an interview one day of like Jodeci like a couple years ago, a year when they came back with another album. Somebody had asked them. They're like, no, we cool now. But they were like, it was like, they heard it back then. We're like, what? Like,
they had a skit on the album. I'm trying to remember the timeline. It had to be about Drew Hill.
No, it was the hotel.
The after party. And the girl was like, yo, you heard that new Jodeci?
They were
like,
throwing shots.
It was like, man, ain't no new Jodeci.
Yeah.
They was throwing shots. Like, there was skits.
I peeped that. I was just listening to the album like last week. That's crazy.
And you ain't want no beef with them.
Smoke with them, bro. Devontae
ain't having. Yo, they. Bad boys. You know how they met? You ever heard the story how they met?
Nah.
Like, they met pulling out guns on each other. Like, The Devontae and Dalvin are brothers, and Casey and JoJo are brothers. I think they was fighting over some girl, or they met, and they was like in different groups or whatever, but they met fighting. Like, so nah, who's light skin in the group?
These brothers against Devontae, these brothers for the girl.
Yeah.
Devontae
was a baby. All the chronic in the world. Okay.
Yo, he had the craziest like intros and shit.
Nah, fuck with Jodeci. Okay, so we gotta go there now. I feel like I could just walk away with the belt. Me and Chris do this thing every episode. We start our very first episode.
This is not even fair.
It's fair.
He got Jodeci on his hoodie right now.
But you don't know what he gonna say. Can I set up the question?
Hey, yo, hold on. Let me give a shout out to JoJo, because my homie Brandon Jennings, shout out to my man BJ. He was like, yo, send me a picture of the hat. JoJo wanna see it. And then he liked it. So shout out to JoJo.
Wow. That's dope, man. Our first episode of this podcast last year. We ain't have no. We had an idea to do something, mm-hmm. but it started because I had a debate on Twitter, and this shit got heated one night. I tweet too much. Jodeci versus Boys to Men.
Oh, you know what?
Right. There can only be one.
People ain't gonna like this, but I definitely say Jodeci.
That's right.
And, but
Chris,
but you know what I will say. But you know what I will say. If Jodeci had put the straps up and the grenades and put some suits on and had maybe not been so raunchy, maybe they'd still be doing worldwide tours. But I think that's what makes them Jodeci, yeah. The fact that they took those risks that a lot of artists weren't willing to take, and they were true to them. Maybe to the group's quote unquote demise. I don't know. Maybe with some label stuff back then, but they were still Casey and Joe. People forget like. After Jodeci, Devontae and Dalvin were still writing and producing on Casey and JoJo. They had three hit albums after that. So it was still, they just couldn't use the
name.
They
cleaned it up.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was a different vibe, you know what I'm saying? So Casey.
Oh, yeah, girl, you're like my mother.
So, you know what I'm saying? So technically, in my opinion, Jodeci had two different careers. They had Jodeci and then Casey and JoJo, which was like 10 other years of, you know what I'm saying? Like cleaner, like.
Which
more.
Was a point that I made on the, you know, when we had this. Quote unquote.
When you
debate.
Lost. Yeah, it was me, Chris.
First of all, I got attacked by two guys.
You didn't get attacked. Nobody attacked.
Rob and
can you
Mac.
Stop? Mac Wiles.
Next time I see Mac, you know,
shout out to Mac.
Shout out to Mac Wiles.
Shout out to Brose. And the breaks. The breaks on VH1 got picked up. They're going to make it a series, man. Shout out to Mac Wiles, man. Nah, so it's funny. Like, we settled the debate because I won episode one.
Right, of course.
Jodeci. But it always comes up. Like, every other episode, like, this shit has still come up because Chris can't let it go. She don't know how to take a loss.
You brought it up tonight, so don't
she don't know how to take
so
a loss.
You're so conniving, Rob.
Nah, it's all good. She don't know how to take a loss.
You hear this, right, Jess?
What's next for you, man? Like, you've, in the studio with no ID. Like, you know, people paying attention. You know, you feel like you might sign somewhere. You're still going to grind out.
Man. You know, I gotta ask myself that every day. So it's always new developments. Like, it's every time I wake up, it's something else. So, you know, mainly I'm just focused on the music and, you know, perfecting and polishing up my particular project. So I want to get the people a body of work. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely coming. But within that, I'm still working on different projects, working on K Camp's project, Freddie Gibbs, me and Kirko, shout out to Isaiah Rashad. We did a joint at my crib.
Word.
So, you know, I'm just working with people like I respect and, you know, admire in some aspect. So it's crazy. My entire plan was just to be a songwriter and stay behind the scenes, low key.
Too late.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna lie. Yeah, as soon as people found out how I looked and like put the Instagram up, like it was dead.
You know who had the same plan? Babyface.
Mm. Yo, shout out to Babyface. He from Indiana.
Yeah, see, yeah. I just finished reading L.A. Reid's book. Sing to Me. I'm a slow reader, so I finally finished it.
Oh well, I mean the book's kind of big.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
so amazing book, but like now I'm on Babyface to write a book, man. I really want to know, like, you know what I'm saying?
He's one of the great ones. Shout out to my boy Cam Parker. Actually, is a songwriter and he works with Babyface a lot. So that was my plan originally. So, you know, I've had to kind of switch it up. And
he said, because they seen how I look.
They seen
they put me on Tumblr. Now the Tumblr.
I ain't gonna lie, man. They seen the braids and the earring, bro. I never seen so many men with the same hairstyle.
You have one or
in
beautiful.
The past week.
Oh, hold on though, because now I'm sitting here, damn, he just fucked the whole shit up for me. Because I'm just like, I might throw my braids back in. I have braids.
Hey, get it back. You might as well. I'm gonna switch it up. I'm switching it up. So I might just start wearing a fro out more on my.
Nah, I ain't gonna fuck up your wave. Listen, it's more important to you.
Nah, but you know what I'm saying? So yeah, man.
Well, I used to have I used to have braids back in high school, man.
You
gotta
put that high school picture up.
Yeah, you gotta search my Instagram to find it.
So
man.
It's some surprises, man. You know, I would just say it's something crazy in the work. So until I can really get that confirmation, I can, you know, really can't elaborate. But
you know,
it's some great things. Some more videos. Die Kiss the video coming soon. So you know, they might kick me off the internet.
Should've
for
dropped
that wish.
For Valentine's Day.
Will you calm down? Will you chill?
What am I saying?
She said,
I'm gonna send it to you. I'm gonna email it to you. I got you.
Sure. DM it to me.
Yeah, I got you.
Yo, this shit so. uncomfortable right now, bro.
I'm gonna change the subject.
It's like I'm not. It's like I'm not even here.
In your trust me freestyle, you specifically say, and I wanted to ask you this because I do feel like you're in a space right now, and I didn't know that you initially just saw yourself doing songwriting. In that freestyle, you say, you know, blowing up overnight kind of takes time, which is ironic because they say people blow up overnight now, you know, with this industry that we're in social media.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say blowing up overnight kind of takes time. Do you feel like this is all happening like really quick or?
Nah, it's just I put in enough groundwork to warrant everything that's happening now. Like, you know, when I talked with No ID, it was just like, he was like, dog, I've been seeing you for years. It wasn't like I just heard about you. Like, I've been seeing your name for 3-4 years. To where I was like, all right, I gotta finally click it or listen or like see what it's about. So, but I know it's gonna look like overnight to a lot of people. And that's how I want it to look. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people don't know too much of my story. But
they know it now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it took a minute. Like, talked about you know what I'm saying? It was a journey for me and it's still a journey. So to me, it's like when I met my guy, shout out to my dude Max, man, at XXL. I haven't seen bro since college. Like, this is a minute ago. Like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. We ain't seen each other. We shared the story. I'm like, yo, I'm going to go to L.A. I'm going to do this. I'm going to write these songs. I'm going to take over. I'm going to go to New York, do this, blah, blah. He was like, yeah, I'm probably working this label by then. And then I walk into XXL. He's like, yo. I'm like, yo.
Was that by accident? Did y'all plan that?
We had.
No idea.
Manny brought me. It was somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't even know I was coming till like, they told him, like, yo, he was like, I went to college with that dude. I think it's the same guy, you know what I'm saying? So.
Did you go by a different name that he ain't know?
Yusef.
Okay.
So, he knew me on my real name. So, it was just, like, that was my plan. I told him, like, yo, it's probably going to take, like, 4 years, but, like, this is what I want to happen. I'm going to finally start this and that. And I did everything I told him I was going to do. So, you know, overnight takes time, you know? So, I think the more organic it is, like, if you might go to the top fast, but you're going to come down just as quickly. So if it takes you a grind and years to get there, it's like, whoosh, they're going to have to do something crazy to get me off of here. You know what I'm saying? Because they let the wrong one in.
Hold on. Let me holler at Max real quick, because I was at XXL for four or five years. You know, I was at the start, part of the staff that started that freshman cover.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Max, man. Freshman. You understand? Yeah, Ali. Yo, Max. Yeah, Ali, freshman.
Right? Yeah.
Stamped.
Listen, bro. I'm an OG. I've been there. Listen, man. I Kendrick. I was there for that. Cole. I was there for that. Wiz. Wale. I was there for that.
Those were some great ones.
Yeah, Ali, man. Yeah. Max.
Freshman.
you gotta put it out in the universe. Yeah, same way.
Got to, man.
Same way me and Joe could get Tory Lanez and Jacquees beefing.
You feel me?
You gotta put it out there in the universe, man.
You gotta put it out into the universe, man. Have to.
Hey, yo, No ID. $1 million deal. yo, Dion. Joint venture. Yo, I'm just trying to wait. That match. We're gonna see this work out, man.
You got to. You also have, Foreplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about Foreplay. What can we expect on that?
Man, Go First was just like the intro. Like, we got the interns produced a couple joints on there. Nice. Some of Kirko's Camp Cardo got a couple on there.
Oh, that's the bro.
Cardo.
Shout out to Cardo, man.
Cardo and Young Exclusive, they got a couple joints on there. So we, it was originally 4 songs, so now we got like 8 that we're gonna choose from. We might drop another one just here and there, but you know, yeah, it's something that I wanted to hold over the fans with because I haven't given them a body of work, and I think it would be awesome to, you know, work with somebody who I personally like. And then people are like, yo, how did y'all even? I'm like, yo, long story.
But I ain't gonna lie, that was random.
A lot of people said that. It was like, yo, how did, you know what I'm saying? I got even more random. I got something. Man, if you think that's random, you should.
I just haven't heard Kirko do something in a while. Like, Rob knows, but like,
he just linked up with Lear Cohen and 300.
Oh, did he? Exclusive? He just gave the eyebrow raise.
Like,
that's dope.
Yeah, he said it before. It's recent. But yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a guy like that, you know, definitely deserves everything that's coming to him. Like, he's a hardworking guy.
That's dope.
Yeah. And humble.
Very humble
as
like,
ever.
That's how a lot of Houston artists I know are. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I work with a lot of people from Texas, and they just got a certain quality to them that me being from the Midwest, I can personally appreciate, like, the genuineness.
Let's talk about, because you got the clothes, too. I just want to be able to plug where they could get, because I'm a go wherever I need to go to get one of these hoodies. Where can we get these hoodies at?
Yo, I'm going to have my website up in about a month, but you can stay tuned on my Instagram, YE_Ali. I'll be posting like updates. So the store is almost done. So we got hoodies, hats, bomber jackets. It's crazy. So my homie, he's making a site and it's amazing. So product shots, we're just going through all of that stuff. So
okay,
it's been a minute since I was on that, like a year or so removed, so I'm just getting back into the thrill of the hustle and the hitting the fabric shops and going downtown and getting back in my bag. So it's gonna be really nice, man. So this time I get to do it on my own terms and make it the quality I want, as opposed to, you know what I'm saying, just knocking it out. Now I get to take my time and do what I want to.
That's a bet.
That's dope.
Damn, this was dope, man. I'm glad you came. I'm glad we got to do this, man.
Definitely.
And I don't think it's gonna be the last time. Like, I feel like we have more to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any idea? You say you haven't, you know, put out something full length of your own. Do you have any idea when you want to?
Summertime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Summertime.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well, any parting shots? Any parting words?
Man. Shout out to everybody who's, you know, just becoming a fan, and shout out to everybody who's been rocking with me. Shout out to the DJs and the producers. They make the world go round, man. Remember that.
Can we, because I'm getting a little note from Jess, can we expect any work with Kalani? Future work?
Not at the moment. No. I'm mainly working with the artists I named earlier and just me.
Okay.
Yeah.
True.
You can't expect me and K-Camp gonna have some crazy stuff soon.
So K-Camp got some shit, man.
Yeah.
I seen him the other day on Twitter, because, you know, his fans is diehard. So
diehard, bro.
And, you know, I guess people kind of like, yo, he's underrated. Yo, he don't get enough pride. And he went on Twitter. He was like, yo, I'm good.
K-Camp ain't like, one of them.
You understand?
Yo, K-Camp moving, bro.
Yeah, like, he got moving. Hits. He was like, I'm good.
Touring, like, yeah. Boy, that boy get it. So, like, shout out to the slums over there, man.
I like to see that. Like, he kind of took a stand. He was like, y'all gonna chill with this underrated shit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Didn't he? Wait, wasn't he on one of the covers or something?
He was on the Fresh. Yo, Max.
He make it happen. Yo, can't be going.
Yo, Max.
And everything he does is solid, so.
Yeah. And he's a cool dude. He was actually, fun fact, when I moved over from MTV to Genius, K-Camp was my first interview.
Oh, work
at Genius. So,
yeah, man, yeah, solid dude, man. We was in the studio a couple of days ago, and we just got a chance to vibe and smoke and listen to some of my records. And his homie had put them on me. He was like, "Dog," I'm like, "All right, let's go." So we got a couple we working on right now. So yeah, man, shout out to Slums. That's the homie.
That's what's up.
Yeah, shout out to A-Track too, man. That's he shouted out one of my songs. It's my song Ring. Like a couple weeks ago, man. So he came to the crib. I played him some records, man. So A-Track is a really good dude, man. Shout out to everybody at Fool's Gold, Rome Fortune, all the homies over there, man.
Yeah, Rome just dropped his album, too.
Shout out to that boy, Rome.
Rome, Mike Boyd, man. What up? Shit, man. I don't know, man. I think we good.
Hey, shout out to y'all for having me, man. I appreciate y'all, man. This is my first time in New York, by the way. So
nah, man.
Ever in my life.
First time in New York ever.
First time in New York.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to see Dipset, man. I just need to see what it was. I'm one of the biggest Dipset fans. I still got a chain from eighth grade. My dad's in this crib.
Where Dipset at now, man?
Where Cam? Tell Cam I'm here, man.
Cam in Jersey. I think he live in Lodi. It's not far from here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So shout out to, I'm loving the scenery, man. So New York is a beautiful city. I always wanted to see it in real life. So yeah.
But cold.
Yeah, I'm used to the cold, man. I lived in Chicago half my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago gets cold.
Yeah, man. So shout out to y'all for having me, man.
He said, I got my Trap House Jodeci hoodie to keep me warm.
Good.
Nah, man, it's good, man. That's what we have this platform for, man. I mean, you know, one of the important things, and we had R. Kelly on this show.
Ooh.
I mean, we've had Rico Love. We've had the Force
and
Bees.
Shout out to that boy, Rico Love.
Yeah.
Like,
that's another one with Salon
Remy.
Penn Game.
Midwest boys. He from Milwaukee.
Yeah, Ryan Leslie. So we've had veterans, but this is important too, to create a platform to have just newer cats like yourself. I mean, we had, you know, Bryson when he was first starting, and Tory and cats newer than that. We had Eric Bellinger up here.
Hey, shout out to Eric. All man, it's, y'all see it. So,
Eric too. Yeah, nah, it's the homie. That yeah. His project too. His like the new project he just dropped on Valentine's
so
Day.
That Valentine, my roommates produced the whole project. Shout out to my boy Travis, shout out to my boy Business Boy, shout out to Cardell, they produced the whole
thing. I hit him because I ain't gonna front, like the Christmas joint was fly. Like him and on a tear, the Christmas joint was cute, but I ain't listen to it.
Cute?
I'm saying I'm using cute as a term, like it was like a novelty. Like I didn't listen to the Christmas joint after Christmas anymore. I was like, okay, Christmas is gone. I'm not gonna listen to this joint anymore. So when the Valentine's Day joint dropped, I was late to it.
Yeah.
And then Button hit me. He was like, man, you ain't listen to that Eric Bellinger yet? Like,
that joint go.
And I was like, no. I was like, yo, I'm slipping. I saw it, but
layup is crazy.
Layup.
I did it.
Shout out to my boy Travis. Right. Man, yeah. My homies made that joint happen.
He did his thing.
That's how I mess with Eric, man. He's a solid dude, for real.
And he puts out a lot of music.
Yeah,
he's a great writer, man. Catch like that. Like, it's nothing for him to... He didn't work for Usher,
but it's all
Chris.
Good. Like you would expect someone who puts that much music out for it to kind of be like, oh, all right, like now you're overdoing it. But he never does. Mm-mm.
You gotta think, all them songs he didn't give to so and so, like he probably got.
And then the record, and then his old record from like Valet is like, I feel like really just taking off.
They brought it back and put Fetty on, right?
Yeah, put Fetty on their chains.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So you know, shout out to EB, man. Definitely fam, yo. But I don't know. I think that's it, man. Yeah, where can they find you at, man? If people are hearing you for the first time, where can they follow you on Twitter?
Yo, Ye Ali, Ye_Ali, Ali. That's the same on every platform. SoundCloud, Ye Ali.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Chris, you want to shout it out? They know where to get you.
Yeah.
Shout it out.
At Chris Lover. Two okay.
A's. And I'm at Rob Morgan on everything. Thank you for listening, everybody. Definitely love y'all and the support. Shout out to Jess holding us down.
Yeah.
No bigger.
And we here. Yeah, follow at RLS Podcast on Twitter as well. And we're going to take you out of here with the homies, Jake and Papa Starless. Get they joint Sexual Warfare. It is in stores. It's on SoundCloud. But you should really buy it, man. My brothers work hard.
You won't regret it.
And we're going to check y'all next week, man. Red Light Special. We out. Peace. That's the